such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. Tony, welcome back.
Hey.
Christina, Nick over there. How's everybody doing?
Welcome back, everybody.
On this, the Feast of the Assumption, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into heaven. I think we celebrated the vigil last night, and we'll celebrate. We're celebrating the feast today as well. But I really think that my four favorite feast days, of course, the Christmas, the whole season of Christmas, and Holy Week, and the Triduum, and you know the octave leading to Divine Mercy Sunday. But then the other two would be the Feast of the Assumption and All Saints Day. Those are my four favorite feast days that the church celebrates. So we'll talk about that today. Tony, welcome back.
It was good.
California?
It was relaxing.
Was it?
Till the end. It was relaxing.
You guys went, drove the coast of California?
Yeah, we went from Oakland and we drove to kind of like before L.A.,
is Oakland as bad as they say it is?
You know what? I went there just for that purpose, to see it. And where Angelica's aunt is kind of like, it's still in the city. It's like borderline, but yeah, it's horrible. I hate to talk about another city. And aside from just the homeless, it was just, it's so dirty. I don't remember it being... Right. You know, garbage everywhere, but I guess it's
a beautiful part of California. That is San Francisco.
And we went to San Francisco also, and it's the same.
Same thing.
Yeah, I saw it firsthand.
Very, very sad.
So.
Anyway, well, welcome back. We missed you.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Were we here last? No, I was gone last week.
I was
in Rochester last week.
You were away. But we were here the previous week.
Yeah, this has been we're kind of getting back into the groove now. I think, summer is hard to believe, but it's...
It's over.
It's not over, but the kids are back in school. They'll be back in school tomorrow. Some of the students have already started. I know St. Patrick's, they began on Monday. I think the high school started on Monday.
I'm starting to be like you. I don't remember who scolded me saying, it's not over. It's not over.
I was talking to so many people. some kids are happy to be back because they get to see their friends.
Yeah.
Others are not too happy.
You just look up and it's okay. It's going on September. School's coming back. And where did the summer go?
I know,
but
it's
so doesn't.
Fast.
I don't know the rationale for. Back in my day,
when I was a kid.
You know, when Memorial Day came, that's when summer began, and then you didn't go back to school until after Labor Day.
Yeah,
and it seems that that's the way it should be. I don't know.
Times change.
Times have changed. The times, they are changing. So changing, really changing. Anyway, welcome back to the students. Like I said, our children come back tomorrow.
Wow.
Tomorrow. Teachers are already back. And I know the high schools started on Monday. The Catholic, I don't know about the public.
There's some that started already.
Some of the altar boys, the little ones, they start... the 21st or the 22nd or 23rd, maybe the 23rd. So it's which is only next week, though,
next week.
Because this is already in the middle of August.
Wow. Some of the suburban schools already started.
They started
this week. Yes,
they should be in school all year round. At well, least you know, they make up for the three.
I think it's a
years.
Good thing. It helps them stay out of trouble.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's something to be said for that as well.
Much as I hate it, I love summer too, but I think nowadays it yeah, should they be need all to year stay. Round.
Yeah. Maybe. I think I was telling somebody that, in fact, I was just speaking to somebody this morning. We were talking about just the crazy things going on. Yeah, I don't know, when you were gone, I was, somebody opened my confessional
yeah,
and
I've
ordered
heard.
Me out of the confession. It was really strange.
Wow.
And like I say, who are you, you know? And I mean, didn't know if he had a knife or a gun or what. I wasn't sure. You know, I'm thinking about the people, you know, myself, what's going to happen here now. And anyway, you just got to be really astute yeah. and aware of where you are. It doesn't matter where you are, you know.
At this point, it doesn't.
No. So, but there's anyway. No safe place but I was, in this world.
But I was telling somebody this morning that I think it would be a good thing just because of the nature of life today mm-hmm. that young people do 2 years of service in the military
sure.
or in something, you know, where they learn discipline, they learn to have to work in community, you know, together, where the world doesn't revolve around them, one or another, but it's a team effort here, you know. I just think we really need that at this time in our history.
I remember, I so. Father, you had I think it was a quinceañera, and you, in your homily, you mentioned that life is not a party, and it's true for the young people,
right?
And they have to learn that life is work.
Right, right. I mean, how many? God gave us one day of rest.
Yes.
Right. He didn't give us one day of work and six days of rest. Life is work, and even if you're not working, it's work, you know.
Yes.
And that's part of the problem is, and why there's so much depression and so much anxiety, because people wonder why they're not happy. But if we're not going to be happy in this life, but our joy is knowing that you know, we come from God, we go to God, we choose and to live in God, and he's the source of our a genuine joy, an enduring, mm-hmm. enduring joy and peace. Yeah, there's meaning and purpose to life, mm-hmm. and there's all things will end well for those who love God. But it means God has to be the center, God has to be the foundation. And how many times do we have to speak about this? You know, Jesus said, the foolish people build on sand, mm-hmm. and the rain comes and the wind blows and the house falls, there's no foundation. The wise build on rock, meaning God. He's referring to himself. And you build on me, build on this rock. And, yeah, the rain's going to come and the wind's going to blow, but you're not going to collapse, you know. And in the course of our life journey, you know, and I truly looking back, I see this to be true. You know, he brings good out of evil, light out of darkness, and eventually life out of death. So it's, yeah. You know, we just got to go back to the basics. I think we got to go back to the basics anyway. And yes, on this feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, what we're declaring really in her Assumption is the truth of what Jesus said. I prepare a place for you that where I am, you will be. But I'm not going to leave you orphans. I will remain with you, and I'll get you through this life. And he's with us. Our Lady is with us. They're in our midst. You know, we have to have the eyes of the soul to see, to recognize that we're not alone, and that we weren't deceived, and that all things will end well for those who love God. It's a choice we have to make. Do you believe? And do you love God? And it goes down to that, right? Mm-hmm. Do you believe, and do you love God? Or what does the Church say that we in life we come to know God, to love God, and to serve God? You know God, you're going to love God. If you love God, you're going to serve God. Jesus said, "If you keep my commandments, if you love me, you will keep my commandments." Right, and that's serving. That's service rendered to God's people. That's our contributing to the proper ordering of society in a disordered world. And the more we go away, the more we create that vacuum, that space whereby falsehood comes in, the demons, evil, and the like. So, keep your view to the to end things, last things, and you'll live a holy life, as the saints have always said. Keep death before you, and you'll live a holy life. Well, how sad, you know, really, what, in Maui, what happened.
Oh, it's devastating. They were calling it the apocalypse.
Yeah, most definitely. Yes. Certainly it
looked
like
it. Yeah,
it looked like it, yes.
So they're saying that they're 1 to 2,000 people are still unaccounted for.
Yes.
I thought I heard that this morning. Mm-hmm. You know, but what a sad situation.
They interviewed a woman that was, she had to jump into the water. Where else were you going to go?
Right.
9 months pregnant, and she was in the water for 8 hours.
Unbelievable. Very sad. Now we got to take note, you know?
Yes.
All right, let's pray, and then we'll talk about the feast day today, which is a very beautiful feast, the feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into heaven. Let us begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasure of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us, increase your mercy in us that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great mercy, with great confidence, submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this very critical time we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you, reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, We cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that He alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. And now, trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come. Before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Michael the Archangel,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Before we take a break, and then we'll come back and talk about the Assumption, I just have to tell you this little story very quick. I only wear black. And if I have another shirt, it'll be a gray or white. That's all I have, white, gray, or black.
Good colors.
Right. The point is, when I was in Rochester, I saw they've got a men's clothing store there, and I saw this a paisley shirt, which was really, it just drew my attention. I thought, God, I would, and it wasn't no bright colors or anything. It had like a dark gray and black and blue and dark navy blue, you know. But you know what a paisley is?
Right.
Kind of a bohemian look, and if I weren't a priest, I'd kind of dressed in a bohemian way, you know. Mm-hmm. So I caught my attention, so I thought, I want to buy it, you know, why not? Just a shirt I can wear in Rochester. So I wrote it, so I came back on a plane wearing this shirt, you know, and I had my sports jacket dark on, so it was okay. But I got here, got settled in late Friday afternoon, and I had to go to Target, right? Target.
Yes.
Target.
One of the few times, I mean, I can count on one hand how many times I've been to Target. I just don't like to go shopping. That's why I like
it. I just don't like Target. I just don't like Target.
Well, I went to Target. So I thought, well, should I wear the shirt or not? I'm not going to see anybody, you know. So I went because I knew exactly what I had to get. So I went and picked it up, and I turn a corner in one of the aisles, and this whole family says, "Oh, Father told me." You know,
the one time you wear that shirt.
So I thought, okay.
Look how cool he is.
Okay. So then I left there, and then I had to get something to eat to bring home to eat because I didn't have any food. And so I went to this Mediterranean place. And
by Clyburn, is it?
It's on
North?
No. North and...
North and... I know which one you're talking about. Yeah.
And so I went in. I was the only customer there. And the guy, you know, on the other side, you know, you pick what you know.
What you want.
Hummus or whatever.
Hummus.
Hummus or this. I said, "Do you have lamb?" He says, "Yeah, lamb." Okay, so I get the lamb and the rice or couscous. That's the rice. So we get and I'm thinking, I've seen that face before, you know. And when we went to pay, and he was very serious, you know, as we're going down. So you know, I went to pay. And he says, "Ah, Father Tony, don't worry about it." He says, "You know, you don't have to pay." It says on me, and I said, "Oh, okay, I know who you are." And I realized who it was, and I hadn't seen him for quite some time. But I paid him. I said, "No, I'm paying. You know, you give him a little bit extra." So it's just, you know, Isn't that funny? I never see anybody anywhere I go right. anyway, so.
And the day that you wear that shirt. That's so funny.
And I remember thinking before I left, you know, I'm not going to wear this shirt because I might see somebody and they might think, you know, I should, because right. I maybe it's the military in me, mm-hmm. raised in the military. I just feel you got to be properly dressed. Sure. At least if I'm not wearing the collar, to wear the black shirt or mm-hmm. or a gray or a white, whatever. So anyway, take a break, come back, and want to talk about the feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into heaven. So don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WSFI.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to the Winds of Change.
On August 15th, we're celebrating the 42nd anniversary of the network's launch, when Mother Angelica aired the very first program on EWTN. In honor of this occasion, will you step forward today to support the mission Mother started? We need 1,000 people to sign up as new monthly donors during our anniversary monthly giving challenge. The time to join Mother's ongoing mission is now. Your regular donations ensure that the faith-based programs and news that people can trust are available 24/7 and around the globe. Most importantly, with your donation today, you'll tell the world Jesus loves you.
EWTN is 100% viewer-supported. Sign up today as a monthly donor, and as a token of gratitude, we'll give you a free ebook filled with Mother's wisdom, Mother Angelica's Reflections on the Present Moment. Just click the donate button or visit EWTN.com/go-monthly.
Welcome back. Okay, I got to turn my mic on. Okay, welcome back, everybody. I'm Father Anthony with Tony and Christina and Nick.
We're all rusty.
Can you
we're
hear
all
me
rusty.
We're rusty, yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now? I'm going to go back to actually Sunday because it kind of morphs into Assumption, and the Assumption I did. I think these are some interesting points to make. I made them on Sunday, and I want to revisit this if we can. But because when I as I prepared the homily and the letter, and I always letter and homily are one and the same thing. But the homily I can kind of expound on it, but in any case, I had the solemnity of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary in my mind when I was preparing for this past Sunday's Mass. It was only a few days before the feast day, which is today. But there were three themes in the readings last Sunday, if you recall. The first was Elijah, who heard the voice of God, but not in the sound of the heavy wind and crushing rocks, not in the earthquake nor in the fire, but rather in a tiny whisper, and just in a whisper. And the second reading, Paul, in his letter to the Romans, he spoke about the great sorrow and the constant anguish he felt in his heart for the sake of his own people. I say this because I think we feel this as well, those of us who have a sensitivity to God and to things sacred. The third, Jesus calms. From the gospel, Jesus calms the fright and the anguish of the apostles who are trapped in a boat being tossed about amidst a storm at sea. And it's only when the Lord steps into the boat that the wind died down, and they did him homage, and they said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Many years ago, when I was seminary, and I read a little book. It was called "The Woman Wrapped in Silence," and it was basically a poetic book, a reflection on the life of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And what's interesting, in all the apparitions of the Blessed Virgin Mary, her visitations have been characterized by a most beautiful silence, very beautiful silence, not an empty silence, but a silence filled with a deep, abiding presence, peaceful and life-giving. And it's a peace, I think, that all of us have found often in the course of our pilgrimage through life. It's a peace many describe even as they step through the doors of our church here at St. Stanislaus, because if you recall, you know, it was at Our Lady's request that we build sanctuary and that the doors be open for a reason. And I think I'm sure I mentioned the week before that somebody described the era in which we live as an era characterized by a tyranny of noise. And so I recall the Blessed Virgin Mary's call to us to build here a sanctuary of the Divine Mercy and open the doors, that the, and I quote, cacophony of the world not shout into silence the voice of the living God. That's the rude noise of the world, that it will not shout into silence the voice of the living God. So we have to create the space, and I believe that she's sprinkling the world with these sanctuaries. And of course, certainly the fulfillment of this call is, it's an ongoing work, requires cooperation on the cooperation of all of us, that we offer her summons, her call to those who come here, moved by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whether they know it or not. The space of our church, our sanctuary, has to be simple, silent, clean, rid of any impediments to the inbreaking of God into the lives of others. And he does indeed want to break into our lives as we're in the exile, making our way toward the homeland. Again, I've prepared a place for you that where I am, you will be. We come from God, we go to God if we choose to live in God. Also, you know, the World Youth Day in Portugal ended a week ago or 2 weeks ago. I don't remember. It was maybe a week ago on Sunday. And but it opened with a rock concert, very, very jolting, very glaring. A rock concert morphed into a Christian motivational piece to kind of reach, quote-unquote, the lives of the young. And it was, if you saw it, it was very loud, very jolting. It seemed the antithesis of what the church should offer the young people who already are inundated with so much noise. We need to give them an alternative to the rude noise of the world and create the space for silence, that they hear the whisper of God who speaks in the deep sanctum of their souls. Having said that, you know, and having seen the concert, and even the day of the Papal Mass, the last day, they were awakened to this concert, this jolting, glaring noise, you know. And it just seemed the antithesis of what should be. I don't mean to downplay the need for joyful play on the part of the young people, but they're there, you know, hopefully most of them there, and I do believe this, because they're in that quest. They're looking for God. And we as leaders of the church have to create the ambiance, a space whereby that can happen, and not condescend or not assume that, you know, they're not going to. We got to believe in, you know, what. See, if we don't allow God possession of our lives, if we ourselves are not practicing a certain asceticism, a certain detachment from the noise of the world, from the things of this world, in order to create space to nurture life in God, then we're not gonna know, you know, that what it is to bring them to, or how to create the, which by the way is, I think the sad reality that the suppression of the extraordinary form, because it really does lend itself to silence, and to what is central to our worship, which is the Holy Sacrifice, and that we enter into that sacrifice in order to have communion with God. But interestingly, in the interview with a lot of these young people, what they most what most touched them was, number one, that they were together with hundreds of thousands of other young people. So they didn't all of a sudden feel that they were alone, and they felt they could speak their voice, their faith in Christ, or their desire to search for God. So that was one thing, you know, the witness of having to be in the company of all these other young people. And the other thing that, and I had mentioned on Sunday, we had this experience here, and I probably mentioned on the radio years ago when this happened, but because our young people had gone to retreat in Indiana, there were 20,000 young people. And when they came back, the two things that most impressed them, most moved them, was, again, being in the company of so many other young people who had faith or were searching for God. And the other thing was the silence and the adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. I mean, our young people said, you know, you can't even imagine this, Father. They said, you know, can you imagine 20,000 people in silence, young people in silence, before the Blessed Sacrament, and how moved they were by that, because it was an encounter. It was an encounter. And I heard people speak about that from the World Youth Day. It wasn't the concert. It wasn't the, you know, the some of the other kind of strange things that were going on, but it was the fact that there were so many from all over the world, and the experience that profoundly affected them was the adoration of Christ in the Holy Eucharist. So it's you know, they want the challenge, not everybody, right? But there are those who want the challenge, and if we don't give it to them, if we're going to dumb down the faith or water down the faith, we do them a disservice. We do each other a disservice. They want the mystery, the mysticism, the transcendent, right? That God is, yes, above us and beyond us, but he's in our midst, and Our Lady is in our midst as well. They're not frozen in the pages of sacred scripture. Because only in finding, you know, because to have life in Christ comes at a cost, and that's something that, you know, we have to realize. It's again, God is demanding, he's not permissive. It comes at a cost, at a price. Only in finding Christ do we realize how devious the demon works to distract us from a true encounter with Christ. And so you could sense in a deceptive way, in a seductive way, how the demon was creating distraction from a true encounter with Christ. But they, many of them, found Christ in adoration. When we find Christ, it's no longer about being appeased by the world. It's no longer an attitude that the world revolves around me, but it's rather a radical witness in a radically secularized society, a radical witness to give Christ, that God be glorified. Or what is it? What am I trying to say? It's a radical witness we wish to give, that God be glorified in all things. It's life changing. I listened to one witness. The witness of a young person yesterday, actually was a young person, but reflecting back over his youth day experience in the year 2000, and how it was definitely a radical transformation that happened to him, and he's carried through with it, even to the point that he's in a mission. You know, he does podcast and all that. I can't remember his name. He's from Australia, but he lives in the United States. You know who I'm talking about? Pines for Aquinas, I think, is called the program, the podcast, Pines with Aquinas or something to that effect. But anyway, but it's very, very, is his own personal testimony was really quite powerful. Because and today the world, the church with it, are being frenetically tossed by a daunting storm. that wishes to swallow us into demise. God must be eliminated for the reign of the Antichrist. The readings this past Sunday spoke to this reality. Again, Paul, like Paul, we may feel this great sorrow and anguish at what is unfolding all around us. Like the apostles, we may be terrified at the weight of the wind and the turbulent sea rocking the boat of the world, the boat of the church. It's only when we keep our eyes on Jesus are we able to navigate peacefully through the wayward world of our day and find peace in the whisper of his voice, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." And again, this is what characterizes the apparitions or the visitations of the Blessed Virgin Mary. As you listen to people who have been the recipients of those apparitions, or those who have gone to places of apparition, or have gone to Lourdes or Fatima, or even to Rwanda or to Medjugorje, regardless of what you think of the alleged apparitions. I spoke with somebody yesterday about that as well, because I had very, very powerful experience of and the group I went with, you know, twice. The second time I went as a devil's advocate, and I didn't stay in the church during the apparition, the alleged apparitions, but I wanted to be at the hill where she first appeared to the young people. And on that hill, you all of a sudden, there was a certain hour of the day when she comes, it was 6 o'clock or 6:30 in the evening, but I was up there, and it just all of a sudden, this stillness and this silence just enveloped the whole village. And you're looking over the hill, down over the entire village. It's very, very, very beautiful. And this was back in 1989, so it wasn't too long after the apparitions had begun. Again, I say alleged apparitions, but certainly something is happening there. In any case, there was this silence, the stillness, this sense of peace, and the birds, all the birds clung to the church. They just clung to the church. They didn't fly, and there was no wind blowing. It was just a stillness, and I swear, as God is my merciful judge, that as I was there, just experiencing this, just being enveloped in this silence, this peace, this stillness. I could see, like in a cloud, the image of the cloud moving toward the church, but in the perfect image of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And I bring that up because, and maybe I spoke about this on the radio before we went, but a large group of young people, very, very large group of young people went there before they went to Portugal for the World Youth Day. And they witnessed the same thing, and they actually had a photo of it. And I thought, gosh, that's exactly what I saw when I was there. But it was the image was moving through the sky toward the church. So, you know, and some people say, well, we got to be, you know, it could be the work of the devil. You'll know them by their fruits, right? Mm-hmm. And the fact that even in Portugal, but certainly in Medjugorje, the priests are there constantly hearing confessions. And people that went with me back in 1989, 1990, whatever, there was a couple of times there, right around that time. Many went through powerful conversions that have endured even to this day. And again, I spoke to somebody yesterday who happened to be from there, and her family comes from there, and she went there in 1984. That was right after they began, and she was only 12 years old, and it radically changed her life, you know, as a child. But you know, it's when we speak of the Assumption of the Holy Mother of God, we're talking about her. It's the week before what we had the Transfiguration. Jesus took Peter, James, and John to the top of the mountain. He was transfigured. They saw him in his glorified state, resurrected and glorified. So it was an experience of heaven. And they said, "Lord, it's good that we're here. Let us stay here." And that's when the voice of the Father was heard saying, "No." They said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." And of course, Moses and Elijah had appeared alongside him. Well, Jesus, being God, was the giver of the law, gave the law to Moses, through Moses to the people. And Jesus, Elijah represents the prophets. Jesus is the supreme prophet. And after that voice of the Father was heard, this cloud overshadowed them. They were terribly afraid. And then the cloud lifted, the voice was gone, and Jesus was again in the flesh, not in a glorified state, fully human, fully divine, but his humanity put certain limitations on his divinity until he would pass through the cross and into the resurrection and be glorified. And so, and what did the Lord say? But no, we got to get down. We got to come down off the mountain. We're not in heaven now. We got to come down off the mountain and make our way to the Valley of Tears, to the marketplace, to Calvary. In a word, to death. Death, which is the door that will lead us into our destiny, which is to have a share in the life of the risen Lord, and that our bodies eventually will be glorified. And so when we celebrate the Feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we're celebrating just that, that she who conceived Jesus, she who was conceived herself without sin in view of the incarnation and redemption, the new Eve, that she was destined not to experience the corruption of her body, but that as she passes through death, she passes into a glorified state. She shares fully in the life of her risen Son, risen and glorified, body, soul, mind, spirit, the fullness of her personality, suffers no corruption. And that's important for us because it's a statement, it's a declaration that when the Church dogmatically proclaimed the assumption that Mary at the end of her life, she passes through death, her body remains incorrupt and is glorified. We're stating, the Church is stating the truth of what Jesus said, that again, I go to my Father and your Father, that where I am, you too will be. This is your destiny. This is the best is yet to come. The body will die. Remember, you are dust. To dust you shall return. Upon death, the soul departs the body and goes either to heaven or purgatory. Or awaits, hell is a place as well. You know, at the end of all things, we will be judged. It's a dogma of the Church. So we have to choose to live in the Lord. Now, to the point, this is the reading today on the taken from the Book of Revelation. The heavens open. The Ark of the Covenant appears, the woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, a crown of 12 stars, pregnant with child. And when she appears, the ancient serpent, the dragon, Satan, appears, waiting for her to give birth to devour the child. So that woman is the Blessed Mother in a singular way, but also represents the Church, Mother Church. The bride, Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the bride, the Church, the bride of Christ. Satan waits for her to give birth, to devour the child, to destroy the child. So using cryptic or metaphorical language, allegorical language, the child escapes. This is in reference to his passing through death. Once Jesus passes through death, Satan has no power over him. So he goes in pursuit of the woman to destroy the woman. And she too, in reference to her passing from this life into the next, once she passes through death, Satan has no power over her. So the reading goes on. You're not going to hear it at Mass today, but if we continue reading the pericope, the passage from the Book of Revelation in chapter 12, it goes on to say the dragon became angry with the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commandments and bear witness to Jesus. I think that's a very, very important point, because it helps to put things in perspective that we are in a spiritual battle, and we have to fight the good fight. We are her children. We're born at the foot of the cross, daughter Zion, mother Israel. The prophecy is fulfilled that in a moment's time she suffers a pain of labor, giving birth to children she never conceived. We're born through the blood of the cross. We become the messianic people. Again, the great gift, before the great gift of salvation, the gift that God gave us was his mother. Woman, these are your children. Behold, your son, referring to John, who is called the beloved disciple, who really represents all the disciples of Christ. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. And he took her into his home. And so we do the same. And Jesus and the Blessed Virgin Mary are not frozen in the pages of sacred scripture, but they're very much alive in our midst. So as we've created space for them in the hallowed space of St. Stanislaus Kostka, we have to make space for them in our hearts. As when Jesus stepped into the boat and the wind died down, so too allow him to step into your hearts, that his peace be restored to your lives. And in a whisper, you recognize the sound of his voice and her voice. They're not, again, frozen in the pages of sacred scripture, but very much alive and very much in our midst. It's a mystery, because we're in the exile. And so, you know, we're not home. And again, we're not condemned to be here forever. And we take it one day at a time, but we keep our focus, we keep our eyes on the Lord, on Our Lady, through her heart, into the heart of Jesus, through Jesus to the Father, and all by the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. We take a break, and then I want to read, I think, from Pope Pius XII, who dogmatically, the Church always believed in the Assumption of Our Lady, the Blessed Virgin, into heaven, but it was dogmatically proclaimed that everybody must believe this. This is a dogma of the Church in 1950 on the Feast of All Saints, on November 1st, 1950. And why? Because the world had just come out of a major, major catastrophe, which was World War III, and millions upon millions upon millions of people had died. And so it was a way to dramatically make this proclamation to ensure for all people that, you know, we don't lose hope, and that we get on with the work of life. We suffer the things of this world, but not in the absence of hope or peace or joy in knowing that what was taken away will be given back if we remain in God, our loved ones, right? So don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WSFI.
St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days per week, for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the iconic monstrance. The Blessed Sacrament is reposed during the celebration of Mass and during special events. St. Stan's doors are always open for adoration. Come anytime, day or night. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy. Visit ststandschurch.org.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststandschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
On August 15th, we're celebrating the 42nd anniversary of the network's launch, when Mother Angelica aired the very first program on EWTN. In honor of this occasion, will you step forward today to support the mission Mother started? We need 1,000 people to sign up as new monthly donors during our anniversary monthly giving challenge. The time to join Mother's ongoing mission is now. Your regular donations ensure that the faith-based programs and news that people can trust are available 24/7 and around the globe. Most importantly, with your donation today, you'll tell the world Jesus loves you.
EWTN is 100% viewer supported. Sign up today as a monthly donor, and as a token of gratitude, we'll give you a free ebook filled with Mother's Wisdom, Mother Angelica's Reflections on the Present Moment. Just click the donate button or visit EWTN.com/go monthly.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change here with Tony and Christina. Today's a feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary into heaven, that when she died, she went to heaven, her body, her soul, her spirit, her mind, in the fullness of her personality, but her body was uncorrupt. She didn't suffer the corruption of the body. It wasn't a separation. The soul wasn't separated from the body, but it was the fullness of her life that was she who was conceived without original sin in view of the Lord was also in view of her son's redemption assumed into heaven. And we certainly when we die our souls go to heaven, but or we hope they go to heaven, purgatory, heaven, or hell, depending on what we choose, what choices we make in this life. But at the end of all things the body will be reunited with the soul, and people sometimes find that, you know, well, how can that be? Well, if God can bring us out of nothing into something, he can certainly bring the body back into communion with the soul. But this is the apostolic constitution declaring dogmatically that Mary was assumed into heaven. Again, 1950, November 1st, it's just a part of it. But Pope Pius XII said in their homilies and sermons on this feast of the Holy Fathers and great doctors down through the centuries spoke of the assumption of the Mother of God as something already familiar and accepted by the faithful. They gave it greater clarity in their preaching and used more profound arguments in setting out its nature and meaning. Above all, they brought out more clearly the fact that what is commemorated in this feast is not simply the total absence of corruption from the dead body of the Blessed Virgin Mary, but also her triumph over death and her glorification in heaven after the pattern set by her only Son, Jesus Christ. Thus, St. John Damascene, preeminent as a great preacher of this truth and of tradition, speaks with powerful eloquence when he relates the bodily assumption of the loving Mother of God to her other gifts and privileges. It was necessary that she who had preserved her virginity inviolate in childbirth should also have her body kept free from all corruption after death. It was necessary that she who had carried the Creator as a child on her breast should dwell in the tabernacles of God. It was necessary that the bride espoused to the Father should make her home in the bridal chambers of heaven. It was necessary that she who had gazed on her crucified Son and had been pierced in the heart by the sword of sorrow, which she had escaped in giving him birth, should contemplate him seated with the Father. It was necessary that the Mother of God should share in the possession of her Son and be venerated by every creature as the Mother and handmaid of God. Saint Germanus of Constantinople considered that it was in keeping not only with her divine motherhood, but also with the unique sanctity of her virginal body, that it was incorrupt and carried up to heaven. In the words of Scripture, you appear in beauty. Your virginal body is entirely holy, entirely chaste, entirely the house of God, so that for this reason also it is henceforth a stranger to decay, a body changed because a human body to a preeminent life of incorruptibility, but still a living body, excelling in splendor, a body inviolate and sharing in the perfection of life. Another early author declares, therefore, as the most glorious Mother of Christ, our God and Savior, giver of life and immortality, she is enlivened by him to share an eternal incorruptibility of body with him who raised her from the tomb and took her up to himself in a way he alone can tell. Again, she was assumed into heaven. All these reasonings and considerations of the Holy Fathers rest on Scripture as their ultimate foundation. Scripture portrays the loving Mother of God almost before our very eyes as most intimately united with her divine Son and always sharing in his destiny. Above all, it must be noted that from the second century, the Holy Fathers present the Virgin Mary as a new Eve, most closely associated with the new Adam, though subject to him in the struggle against the enemy from the netherworld. This struggle, as the first promise of a Redeemer implies, was to end in perfect victory over sin and death, always linked together in the writings of the apostles, of the apostle of the Gentiles. Therefore, just as the glorious resurrection of Christ was an essential part of this victory and its final trophy, so the struggle shared by the Blessed Virgin and her Son was to end in the glorification of her virginal body. And as the same apostle says, when this mortal body was clothed itself in immortality, then will be fulfilled the word of Scripture, death is swallowed up in victory. Hence, the August Mother of God, mysteriously united from all eternity with Jesus Christ in one and the same decree of predestination, immaculate in her conception, a virgin inviolate in her divine motherhood, the wholehearted companion of the divine Redeemer, who won complete victory over sin and its consequences, gained at last the supreme crown of her privileges, to be preserved, immune from the corruption of the tomb, and like her Son, when death had been conquered, to be carried up, body and soul, to the exalted glory of heaven, there to sit in splendor at the right hand of her Son, the immortal King of the ages. And she reigns as Queen.
Wow, that's so beautiful.
It is beautiful, isn't
beautiful.
It? But again, you know, everybody, you know, this shouldn't be strange to anybody because, again, we're destined to share in the resurrection and glorification of God who came to us in the flesh and the Blessed Virgin Mary, the pure vessel, kekaritomene, full of grace. In her there was no impediment, no barrier, no obstacle, no sin to prevent God from fully revealing himself, coming to us fully in the flesh, fully human, fully divine, though his humanity, again, put certain limitations on his divinity until he laid down his life on the cross in order to redeem us and to take the sting out of death and to save us from our slavery to sin. So yes, we die and our bodies corrupt. Remember, you are dust and to dust you shall return. But we have the promise that when he comes at the end of all things, at the end of time, he will come to judge the living and the dead, and the body will be reunited with the soul. But we have to keep in mind, we come from God, we go to God, we have to choose to live in God, always be in that quest, obedient to his commandments and nurturing intimacy with God and with Our Lady through prayer. So, a blessed feast day to everybody. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And peace be with you, ciao.
To say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel. each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed.